What did global leaders talk about in South Korea? Ireland, of course.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. President Obama has landed in Japan for his second economic summit of the week. He flew in from South Korea after wrapping up the G20. As he closed the meeting, the president said the global economic picture is brightening, but still has a ways to go.
This decision was not one designed to have an impact on the currency, on the dollar. It was designed to grow the economy.
Mr. Obama and other leaders of the world's 20 wealthiest nations ended up talking a lot about the debt problems of a small, distant European country, Ireland. Investors are worried that the Irish government may not be able to pay back all of its debt. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us from London to talk about it. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So how is it that Ireland, of all places, has become this hot topic?
Well, because it's beginning to look like a rerun of the European debt crisis. Earlier this year, it was Greece that everyone was fretting about. Now it's the Irish. And the question is, will Ireland have to be bailed out like the Greeks? What's really rattled investors is Germany's insistence that it shouldn't be taxpayers alone that pick up the tab for these problems. Holders of government bonds should suffer too. And that's convinced investors they shouldn't wait around to find out how much suffering they're in for. They're bailing out now.
And this is spreading, Stephen, to investors all over the world?
Yes, investors have been dumping bonds in other heavily indebted European countries like Portugal and Spain, and that's hit the euro, and that's had an ironic effect. It's buoyed up the dollar, just as the US was getting all that flack at the G20 meeting for driving the greenback down by printing more money. Here's Neil McKinnon of VTB Capital Group.
The dollar is actually stabilizing. It's the euro that's in the spotlight. It's the euro that's under pressure because of what you might consider as round two of the Eurozone debt crisis.
The decline in the euro, of course, is great for Germany, who triggered this sell-off. A cheaper euro will make German exports cheaper. Not so good for U.S. exporters, though. Higher dollars make U.S. exports more expensive.
All right. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Here at home, the Federal Reserve today starts its latest round of buying up Treasury bonds. Over the coming months, the Fed will invest $600 billion buying U.S. and corporate debt. What does that mean in practical terms for the average American consumer? Marketplace's Jeff Tyler tells us where we're going to notice the difference.
The Federal Reserve's move has its pros and cons. Interest rates are expected to fall as the Fed snaps up long-term bonds. That's good if you're hunting for a house. David Weiss is chief economist at Standard & Poor's.
You're looking at 4.25% mortgages right now if you do some shopping. I've never seen them like that. Mortgages could get even a little bit cheaper than they already are.
He says other investors will see a downside.
The people who are getting hurt by this are retirees, basically, who are trying to live off their capital. They're just not earning much in interest right now. You just can't put that money into a CD and get enough to live on anymore.
The Fed's action will likely reduce the value of the dollar. Weiss says that will bump up the cost of imported goods and travel abroad.
It's going to cost you more for that hotel in Paris, and that three-star restaurant may be out of your price range now.
But the cheaper dollar may boost exports, and the Fed hopes that will spur the creation of new jobs. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are down around the world with fears about Ireland, as we told you earlier. Asian shares are lower. European markets are down as well. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow was off 73 points to end the day at 11,283.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist online. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE.
A $150 million museum that highlights American Jewish history opens in Philadelphia this weekend. But organizers wanted to be true to the religion, so there were discussions about when to open and how to do business. Reporter Joel Rose explains.
On the day I visited, the front desk clerks at the National Museum of American Jewish History were using fake money to test out the registers.
Right, so the total for that is $90. towards your family membership one.
When the museum opens, the clerks will take in real cash, except on Saturday. According to religious law, Jews aren't supposed to work or handle money on Shabbat. Museum director Michael Rosenzweig says this prompted some heated discussions among the board members.
There were some on the board who felt we should close, simply close, for all Jewish holidays and Shabbat. There were some who felt we should never close.
That tension between religious observance and integration shows up many times in the museum's exhibits about the history of Jews in America. In the end, Rosenzweig says the board settled on a compromise.
We decided to remain open on Saturdays and on most Jewish holidays, but on those days, we will not engage in commercial transactions on the premises of the museum.
The museum and its gift shop will accept credit cards on Shabbat, but it won't actually process the transactions until the holiday is over. Jewish museums all over the country wrestle with doing business on Saturday. Judy Margles chairs the Council of American Jewish Museums.
You might miss outreach to the non-Jewish audiences, people who are out on the street on a Saturday, people who don't have a lot of time during the week to visit your museum.
That's a concern for the National Museum of American Jewish History in Philadelphia. Its new building is practically next door to Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. And Michael Rosenzweig expects Saturdays to account for a quarter of attendance.
We are on Independence Mall. Saturday is a huge day on the mall. That would be a very significant sacrifice of revenue.
Rosenzweig says he'd like the museum to be free on Shabbat, like some other Jewish institutions. But he says that will only work if he finds a generous donor to make up the difference. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has a new Facebook page. It's just a few days old, already has tens of thousands of fans. Unfortunately, some people haven't been very nice on her wall. One commenter wrote to the Queen, quote, "Get a job, pay your taxes, and be productive." That's what you get, Your Majesty, when you mingle with the commoners. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Big chains from Toys R Us to Borders are leasing temporary spaces and opening pop-up stores.
It's really, I think, about capturing the consumer's first impulse to make a purchase.
I'm Bob Moon. Visit while it lasts next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.